My guess is that if you are a St. Louisan from either side of the river, you have almost never touched the Missouri River. Maybe that's not true. Maybe at some point you parked your car along the banks, and then it was during a time when the river was rising because of floods, and you came back to find that half of your car was in the water and half of your car was not in the water. But you've never spent as much time on the Mississippi as my next guest, who is not a barge driver, and he doesn't operate the locks or the dams along the Mississippi, and yet he has spent a lot of time on the Mississippi River. His name is Eddie L. Harris, and he's got a movie coming out at the St. Louis International Film Festival next weekend called River to the Heart. It is the story of Eddie canoeing the entire length, all 2,500-plus miles of the Mississippi, from all the way up in Minnesota, all the way down to the Delta in New Orleans. I've seen a copy of this movie and enjoyed it quite a bit, and so I've asked Eddie to join me here today. Hi, Eddie. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You actually did this twice. The first time you were, what, 30 years old?
I was 29, yeah.
Yeah. Why did you want to do it again at age 60?
For the same reason the first time, probably insanity.
You wrote about that first experience in Mississippi Solo, a terrific book, and now you're out with this movie about your experience. Let's just get to some of the simple questions of how you do something like that. In the movie, we see the very start of the Mississippi in Minnesota, where it comes from. What's the name of the lake?
Lake Itasca. Itasca, they call it.
And it's a creek there, isn't it?
Well, it comes out of the lake as about, it's, I don't know, maybe 3 meters across and no inches deep. Yeah, it's pretty small.
And there are rocks that kids can walk. You can literally walk across the Mississippi River without a bridge.
And not get your ankles wet. It's incredible.
Then it gets a little bit more dangerous and different as you go down the length of the Mississippi. By the way, are there rapids?
Not real rapids. There are some places that are where the river moves pretty swiftly, but I wouldn't call them rapids.
Okay. What about the barges and all the other water traffic and the locks and dams? How difficult is it to navigate your way through that?
Well, the locks are pretty simple because there's always somebody there to help you, and the lock masters are great. The barges, that's where the danger really lies because they kick up an enormous wake. If you get too close, if you don't know what you're doing, you can be in a lot of trouble.
You can't paddle along right behind him and draft?
You could, but you wouldn't come out alive.
Oh, man. So what did you do? Try to stay to the side of the river and let them pass you?
Well, that's what I did the first time. When I canoed the first time, I was a little bit nervous. So every time a barge would pass, and it takes a long time to do this, every time a barge would pass, I would get out of the water and just wait. With a little bit more experience as I went downriver the first time and certainly the second time, I knew how to handle the wake, and it's just a question of maneuvering your canoe in the right direction.
Did they respect you? Did they see you?
Mostly they did. And they're great because I remember once specifically down below Cape Girardeau, I was a little too close. Some guys came out to the front of the barge stack and waved me in the right direction so I wouldn't have any trouble with those guys. I mean, they were fantastic.
Mm. Any of them offered a tow?
I got a ride the first time down on a towboat, but not this time. Not this time.
I want to go back to the lock for a second because the scene in the movie, it looks like there's no other vessel in the lock when they're raising the water with you in your canoe. Is that right?
Well, that is one of the most amazing things about a journey like this. You discover how the country works and certainly how things like that work. And, yeah, they will lock you through in your canoe the same as they will lock through anybody else, even a big commercial barge.
So there's no barge in there, no other boats?
Not another barge. You can't get in there with another barge. But you can get in with other boats. It just depends on what sort of traffic is there at the time.
The day you did it, you were solo?
I was alone.
Wow. Wow. There's a wonderful scene of you. It looks like you're kind of climbing a ladder, but you're actually using it to hold on while the water is while the water is rising. I actually went back and watched that twice. I enjoyed it so much.
And well, it's an amazing sensation because those things are really huge. And if you're in there by yourself, you're just bobbing around like a rubber ducky in a bathtub.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the places that you passed on your trip, some of them you stopped in. Of course, St. Louis is on the river, Memphis is on the river, the Twin Cities are on the river. What about small town America? Does that exist along the Mississippi anymore?
Sure. There's a scene in the movie and places like this, like in Clayton, Iowa, or in Potosi, even places like Cape Girardeau. And there are a lot of small towns along the river. And I think that's one of the messages of this movie and of the book as well. Small town America is really sweet. And one of my most touching moments in the movie is one night up in Clayton, Iowa, in fact. I got off the river really late, and I decided to get a room in a hotel in this little town. I knocked on this woman's window. She was in the kitchen cooking dinner, and when she opened the door, I said to her, without even saying hello, I said, "What's for dinner?" And basically, she invites me for dinner, gives me a room in her little hotel, and it was just amazing.
It's a hotel that was closed for the season.
Closed for the season. But that sort of thing happens all the time downriver. I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now that was given to me by a guy who thought I didn't have enough warm clothes. He went home and comes back with a bunch of warm clothes for me.
Wow.
I mean, that sort of thing happens all the time, and I think we need to get out of our normal lives, and especially away from the TV where we get all these negative messages, and get out and meet these people in these small towns, and we'll have a different experience and a different relationship with this country.
Do the people in those towns rely on the river for commerce still?
Some do. Some mostly don't. It's mostly highway stuff. The commercial traffic is big commercial traffic, like coal and petroleum products.
Mm-hmm.
And grain that's going out to the world. And there are still some commercial fishermen, but it's not nearly as commercial as it was even 30 years ago.
As you're well aware, because you've written respected books on race in America, we have big racial divides, and sometimes it's the Mississippi that is the divider between St. Louis and East St. Louis, between Memphis, Tennessee, and West Memphis, Arkansas.
Yep.
How did you experience that 30 years ago, and how did you experience it this time around?
Well, essentially the same way both times. I think when you're alone and vulnerable, people tend to, and it's not a universal thing, I'm sure there are a lot of bad experiences too, but mostly people come to your assistance. It just seems that on a one-to-one basis, people are pretty much all right.
But you know as well as I do that instance of you going up and asking that woman what's for dinner. She's a white woman, you're a black man. There are places where that would not have played even in 2017.
Even in 2017 Detroit, or 2016 or 2014 in Detroit, when that young woman comes to that guy's house, she's having car trouble, and he blasts her through the door with a shotgun.
Right.
These things do happen. But at the same time, a woman, a small, old white woman and a big black man, and it's an exchange of pleasantries and soup.
So you didn't have a rerun on this trip like you did the first time around with some rednecks?
I did not. No, this trip was pretty much impeccable. It was wonderful the entire way. Part of it probably has to do with having a camera crew with you. But my most significant moments, in fact, were when the camera crew was not around. That scene in the movie with the woman in that little hotel, we reshot that because the real event happened and there was nobody else around.
Mm.
It was magical.
Would you share the redneck story?
Well, one night I was camping. I was frying my chicken and making some potatoes at my campsite. And these two goony guys came out of the woods with their shotguns. I imagine they'd been hunting all day, and one of them even said, "We've been hunting all day, we haven't shot anything," and so they decided to scare me a little bit, and they did. However, on that particular trip, I happened to be armed, and I extricated myself from that tense situation as best I could with my little pistol.
No fire exchange, though, right?
Well, I shot in their direction. Nobody shot at me, but I certainly fired first.
How'd you sleep that night?
I was a little bit nervous. I kept that gun in my hand the entire night.
I was a little bit nervous, he says. You didn't sleep at all that night, Eddie.
Well, that's true. No, I got, in fact, I cleared my camp out and I went downriver even in the middle of the night there to find another spot because I didn't want those guys to come back and haunt my dreams.
Did you see anybody actually swimming in the Mississippi?
I did not know, but I know people do, and I know certainly other canoers. There are tons of canoers out this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And a couple of people even found me and had copies of Mississippi Solo with them, and one woman was canoeing because her father had given her a copy of Mississippi Solo. So I don't know if that's completely coincidence or if Mississippi Solo has been a spur for a lot of people to put canoes in the Mississippi River.
How did they know to go out and look for you this time?
They didn't. They were just on the river, and they just happened to have Mississippi Solo with them as some sort of inspiration. And this woman, when I crossed her and we started talking, that's when her eyes lit up and said, "You wrote that book!"
And did they canoe along for a couple of miles with you?
We canoed, not with me, but they would camp, and then I would pass on, and they would catch up with me, and we'd canoe for a spell, and sometimes camp nearby each other, but pretty much my canoe journey was a solo journey.
Is there public land adjacent to the river where you could just pitch a tent?
There are plenty of spots where you can pitch your tent, especially up in Minnesota. In Minnesota, in fact, they've carved out lots of spaces for crazy people in canoes. There are campsites specifically designed and indicated for people in canoes who are passing by.
Wow, so there must be a lot of canoe traffic.
There seems to be a lot more canoe traffic this time. In fact, the first time I went down, I ran into one guy who was paddling, and he's the only person that I had known up till then who had canoed, but now there are people doing it all the time.
And what about here in the St. Louis area? Can you pull over on the Missouri or Illinois side and just say, all right, this is where I'm spending the night?
You can, but because it's a little more industrial and a little more developed, it's a little trickier.
You grew up in St. Louis.
I grew up in St. Louis.
Did you grow up on the Missouri side?
Yeah. No, I'm a St. Louis kid, grew up in the city for a while, and then moved to the burbs, moved to Kirkwood when I was about 10 or 11 years old.
Okay. I recently had a friend in town who had never been to St. Louis, and I took him to a place that I had never been called the Gateway Geyser, which is in East St. Louis. And not only is it this 600-foot-high water spout that's amazing, but there's also a ramp that takes you up about three stories. And from there, you get the magnificent view of the St. Louis skyline, which you can never get from the Missouri side because you're in St. Louis.
Right.
And you're surrounded by the buildings. But you go across the river, and you get that view. What is it like from down at the level of the river?
St. Louis is actually a beautiful town. Downtown St. Louis, the skyline, I love it.
Me too.
I've always liked it. And the arch just has this special place in my heart. It always has since it was first finished in 1964.
Did you see it coming down the river as, here it is?
Yep. You can't miss it. You cannot. And your heart starts to race and you want to go. It's like being a horse or on a horse that's getting close to the stable. You just want to get there faster and faster.
Yeah. How has the river changed? Has climate change had effects on it?
That's hard for me to say. It's cleaner than it was.
Really?
Yeah. There are people who are actively cleaning the river. There's some guy who's based out of, I think he's up in Alton, near Alton. He's got this barge, and he goes up and down the river taking junk out. And it's just some amazing stuff. But also, I think the EPA, awareness, environmentalists, everybody is aware of how important water resources are, but also the Mississippi River. So there's been a huge effort to clean up the river since 30 years ago.
Wasn't there a time when it was full of industrial sludge?
There was a time when people that I know would never even think to go into the river. And I think below St. Louis, it's still a little bit that way. But when you get north of St. Louis, the water's pretty nice.
But 30 years ago, when you took your first trip, was it disgusting?
It was advised not to go into the water too often.
Yeah, don't let that stuff get in your mouth, whatever you do. I got to ask you, since I'm almost 60 myself, how was that physically?
It's not as easy as it is when you're 30.
Well, of course.
But it's fine. You're going with the current, and I'm not the most out of shape individual.
No,
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
And as you go farther and farther and farther, you get more and more in shape, and it's very pleasant, and it's something that I would recommend for everybody.
Now, there's one scene in particular I must ask you about, or I wouldn't be doing my job. And when people go to the Tivoli next weekend and see River to the Heart on Saturday the 4th, they're going to see this scene, and they're going to have the same question I have. There is a sequence, which is amazing, of Asian carp jumping out of the water and hitting you practically in the face and landing in your boat. Now, I know you didn't have a big budget for this movie, but that's CGI, isn't it?
No, oh, no, that's real. And that, and we just happened to capture that one incident. But I was attacked by carp very, very often, and it is the most frightening. It's worse than the barges. It is the most frightening thing you can imagine, because they come when you least expect it, and they hurt. When those things flop out of the water and smack you in the ribs, it hurts.
Well, sure, I would expect a surprise fish coming out of the water and hitting you in the face. That ain't going to feel good. Did you know to expect them in certain regions? Did you know about this effect?
Well, I knew they were there, but I had no idea where they were going to be or how they were going to pop out and or in what numbers. And in that particular shot, it's like a, cascade of, flying carp.
That's why I asked the question, because it's an enormous number of fish.
Yeah, and that was not the only time that I got swamped by a bunch of fish flying around.
Are there certain parts of the river where that's more likely to happen, or did you have to deal with it the whole length?
They stopped after, it seems that they stopped after the confluence with the Ohio River.
Uh-huh.
So my suspicion is that they're in water that is a little bit shallower. I'm not going to say shallow water, because the Mississippi's not that shallow. But it seems that they get spooked, and because the water is a bit shallow, they don't go down, they go up.
Uh-huh. They make a left and go to Louisville.
I'm making fun of them, but it's a danger to the ecosystem in the river.
Why is that?
Because they're not native to the Mississippi system, and they have no natural enemies, and so they eat, but there's nothing that eats them.
Oh, did you eat any of them?
I did not, but I have been told, and I love smoked carp, because there are guys who smoke carp up in Wisconsin and in Minnesota and in Iowa, and I love that. But I didn't get a chance to eat these fish. Only because I didn't get a chance to, but I'd certainly eat them.
You had them in the boat. Why not?
Good question.
A movie like this is not cheap to make, and it probably took you, I don't know, I'm going to guess it, more than a month to make the trip?
More than a month, yeah. It was a four-month journey down the river.
Did you crowdfund it?
Crowdfunded it a little bit, but I was not very successful. I friend-funded it mostly.
Uh-huh.
I have some very generous friends who helped me with this project.
Well, that's very nice. You should be very proud of the result here and the fact that you've now done it twice, and I'm expecting in 30 years to have another conversation with 90-year-old Eddie Harris about his third trip down the Mississippi.
I'm already planning it.
Are you really?
I am.
Wow. Well, I hope that works out. I hope we're both around for that, Eddie.
Well, it won't be 30 years from now. But it may be a few, but I do intend to do it again.
Well, I hope a lot of people go see this movie. It's called River to the Heart. It's part of the St. Louis International Film Festival, so its St. Louis premiere is at the Tivoli a week from tomorrow. That's Saturday, November 4th. You can get more information about SLIF by going to cinemastlouis.org. And you can also pick up the book Eddie wrote about his first time down the Mississippi, which is called Mississippi Solo, which obviously made an impact on a lot of people. And you can still get your own copy, I'm sure. Eddie, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome, and I must say, it's a beautiful movie. It is really pretty.
It is very pretty, absolutely. Eddie L. Harris here with Paul Harris, no relation, on the Big 550 KTRS.